The Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 20th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Young farmers in New York and across the nation want Congress to help them deal with climate change impacts.
Bayer's Farmer Voice survey finds 71% of farmers say climate change has impacted their farm. The Fifth National Climate Assessment finds that drier conditions are becoming more of a detriment to agriculture in the Southeast. But the problem of drying land is increasing since New York and other northeastern states had modest droughts in 2022. Holly Rippon-Butler with the National Young Farmers Coalition describes some climate-resistant practices farmers are using to combat climate change.
One of the most popular programs that farmers in our network are using is the high tunnel program. So this is one of the ways that farmers are adapting, is building high tunnels on their farm, making sure that they've got some way to keep crops out of the weather or control the climate a little bit for their crops.
Conservation is becoming more important to farmers. The National Young Farmers Survey finds 83% of young farmers say their farm exists primarily to engage in conservation or regeneration change. Along with this, 86% of young farmers utilize regenerative agriculture practices, but less than half of younger farmers are taking advantage of USDA programs, which could prove beneficial to handling climate change. Edwin J. Vieira reporting.
Now from NBC News, Rosalynn Carter, the former First Lady and humanitarian who championed mental health care, provided constant political counsel to her husband, former President Jimmy Carter. She died on Sunday at her home in Plains, Georgia. Carter was 96. In a statement, the former President Jimmy Carter said, Rosalynn was my equal partner in everything I ever accomplished. NBC reports Rosalynn Carter was widely recognized for her political shrewdness, drawing particular praise for her keen electoral interests. Next to Massachusetts, where voting rights groups say provisional ballot data from the 2022 statewide election highlights the need for same-day voter registration.
Provisional ballots are offered to voters at the polls if their personal information is incorrect or missing from the voter list. Last year, two-thirds of those ballots were rejected for administrative reasons, resulting in 1,600 fewer votes counted. Executive Director of MassVote, Cheryl Clyburn Crawford, says same-day voter registration would allow election officials to quickly determine a voter's eligibility and correct any registration errors on site.
Instead of turning people away, which discourages voters, it would encourage and empower voters.
Clyburn Crawford says same-day registration would also save the state money on election-related costs over time, but some opponents say it could lead to voter fraud despite a lack of evidence. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
For folks in Massachusetts, residents must currently register to vote in person or online at least 10 days prior to an election. This is Public News Service. New research says natural disasters and pollution linked to climate change are contributing to factors to high rates of anxiety and depression among young people.
Researchers from San Francisco-based Hope Lab consulted experts and interviewed youth climate activists to determine how climate impacts, like wildfire, extreme heat, drought, flooding, and air pollution, are affecting young people's mental health. Dr. Emma Bruhlman-Senecal is research lead at Hope Lab and the author of the Climate Generation blog.
We are focusing on climate change because Hope Lab's mission is to support the mental well-being of young people, particularly those from communities that have been underinvested in. And it's clear that climate change is deeply impacting youth mental health, particularly the well-being of youth of color.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Down in Minnesota, where like other states, I've seen a tidal wave of union organizing amid public support to improve pay and workplace conditions. However, labor leaders acknowledge the slow growth of membership is prompting questions about the movement's future.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics says nationwide the number of union jobs last year increased by nearly 2%, but the actual membership rate declined to 10.1%. In a recent University of Minnesota panel discussion, Bernie Burnham of the Minnesota AFL-CIO said the dynamics of organizing have changed, including smaller groups of employees pursuing contracts.
Like in retail, there are a lot of places that use self-checkout, so there are less workers in these stores, and they're not going the traditional route, the old-school route of joining these bigger bodies that are the bigger unions.
Despite the differences, she suggests there's a lot of energy among the newer voices. The experts added that corporations are taking a harder line on organizing and that under most laws, it's hard to enforce anti-union messaging. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Eric Tadoff lets us know a group of veterans is touting the national security benefits of the Inflation Reduction Act.
The organization Elected Officials to Protect America says the law, passed by Congress in 2022, will decrease the country's dependence on foreign sources of energy with a $370 billion investment in clean energy. Army veteran and Beaverton Mayor Lacey Beattie says in wake of the region's devastating wildfires and heat dome, she helped push for protections for renters in Oregon.
Well, I'm very proud of that legislation. I'm very proud that the governor signed it, and I was very proud to build the coalition to do it. Imagine what a tenacious mayor could have done if I wasn't focusing on climate-related emergencies. Like, we could have been building more pipes and schools and infrastructure and bridges.
Beattie says the recent disasters in the state have underscored the importance of taking action on climate change.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.